Good morning. Welcome to our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. My name is Tom Lemler. I am a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. We're talking and praying this week about the Great Commission and the desire of Jesus that we would be involved in, well, doing what he says, in making disciples. And today we're going to center in on that, this central day of the week and the broadcast week, and talk and pray specifically about going and making disciples and what that looks like, maybe a little bit of what it doesn't look like, and what it looks like to be a disciple. It's tough to make something you don't know if you don't know what it is. Luke 14, verse 33 says, "In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." I suspect the first question we ought to ask when we hear a verse like that, if we're not familiar with the context, is in what way? In the same way as what? Well, let's jump ahead or previous to that in Luke 14. We read verse 33, so how about we jump up to verse 31 and see what it says, in what way. "Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Will he not first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? Doesn't quite sound like a fair fight, but it's worth an evaluation, I suppose. If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, any of you who does not give up everything he has cannot be my disciple." As I was looking at this in preparation for the week, I began to consider these terms of peace. The NIV says that if he knows that he can't win, he will ask for terms of peace. I think the King James, when as I memorized this a long time ago, would talk about seeking terms of peace. The thing it doesn't say that they will negotiate terms of peace. Because in this case, and in the case of being a disciple, it's not a real negotiation. We don't hold any of the cards. If we want peace, we accept the terms offered. And I think that's the point Jesus was trying to get when an army has half the amount of people as the one that is the opposition army, it shouldn't take very long to evaluate and discover, everything else being equal, that this isn't going to work well. And so you seek terms of peace. You ask, what will it take to avoid this battle? What will it take to come to an agreement that you won't attack? And oftentimes in battle, if you are defeated, whether it's defeated by war or defeated by numbers, defeated in physical terms or defeated in the mind, there's what we term as an unconditional surrender. You've won. You're in charge. I have no say in this. And God says that when we look at how outnumbered we are, we ought to seek those terms of surrender, that unconditional surrender that says, I'm simply willing to do whatever you say is necessary. This battle that's raging, that is actually consuming me, isn't worth keeping going on it. I can't win. The battle is actually destroying me. And so we come to God asking for terms of peace, and His terms are surrender. Die to self so that you can be raised to a new life. And I think we struggle with that in our message as we go, because we struggle with that in our life. It's tough to make disciples in this regard, in this way, when we struggle to live as disciples in this way. To proclaim a message of surrender, to proclaim a message that says we're not in charge, to proclaim a message of the Lordship of Christ, is not always that popular. Our flesh, our world, we kind of like the message of come to Jesus and let Him empower you to be great. Let Him empower you to have everything you've ever wanted. Let Him empower you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, or whatever it is that we think we need and deserve. And Jesus says, come to me and die. Come to me and surrender. Come to me and give up everything that you have so that you can gain all that you cannot buy. You see, living as a disciple is kind of a prerequisite of making disciples. That disciple-making process is through a combination of teaching and showing and learning together and doing and being, and if we're not doing and being and showing and teaching because we've not learned, we've not done, we've not grown, we've not died to self, pretty tough to make a disciple. Not a disciple of Jesus, at least. We can definitely make disciples of ourselves. We can make disciples of whatever we've made our God out to be. But to fulfill this great commission, it requires that we become a fully devoted, fully committed follower, disciple, learner of Jesus. Jesus says, what does it profit a person to gain the entire world and yet forfeit their soul? And I think there's times where we forget that, we lose sight of that, we think we can do both. It's the old one foot in the world, one foot in the kingdom, and as they drift further and further apart, there reaches a point where we don't end up with either. We actually fall into the abyss. And so we learn to be a follower of Jesus. We learn the value of giving up so that we can gain. And when we learn that, when we put that into practice, then we become prepared to go and make disciples, to live and show and practice a lifestyle that has died to self and that serves others. that loves people like Jesus loves people, that cares for people, that corrects people, that confronts people, that challenges people like Jesus. You see, Jesus was all of that and did all of that in a way that expressed his love. I think sometimes we forget. And we tend to view God either as this God of judgment and wrath and condemning sin and calling for righteousness and holiness, and or we view God as this God of love that's forgiving and merciful and overlooks anything and everything, and we fail to see that all of those are elements of God. And so it turns back to us. He says that if you confess your sins, if you agree with me about the filthiness of your sins and are willing to repent, to turn the other way, to walk away from those, he says, I am faithful and just to forgive you of those sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But sometimes we forget or we neglect to say to others, we neglect to say to ourselves that in order to receive and to experience that love and mercy and forgiveness, we have to agree with God. That sin has no place in our life. And so even in the act of this forgiving our sins and cleansing us from all unrighteousness, there is a condemnation of sin. And when we condemn the sin in our own life to the point that we die to sin, we die to self, we die to our own will, we put ourselves into a position to be raised according to God's will. And so as we go, we make disciples. We share with people life. We share with people the agreement that we have in regard to our sin, that we agree with God, not agreeing with the world. We call people to repentance, to a recognition of a life that's lived for God rather than self. We proclaim a way, the way, and that is Jesus. And we call people, as the Apostle Paul did, to follow me as I follow Christ. The things that you see me do, go ahead and do them. Not because I'm so good, but because I'm following Jesus. And when our life is lived as an example, when our life is lived as a disciple of Jesus, then it's our sharing of that life and calling people to Jesus that results in the making of disciples. And that's God's desire for you. And God's desire for me. Just spend some time today praying with me. Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. Even though we are so outnumbered that we have no chance of success on our own, you extend these very favorable terms of peace that simply says, give up and come to you. And Father, as we live as those who desire to be disciples of Jesus, may we continually gaze into your word. May your Spirit help us to understand his life, how we ought to live, how we ought to experience this forgiveness and to share this forgiveness. Father, that we would recognize the incredible value in giving up what we could never hold on to anyhow, in order to gain what we could never lose. And Father, as we take hold of this salvation by faith through the blood of Jesus, may we continually seek to share that news, that message, that hope, that life with others as we go about our day and we go about life and we make disciples by being like Christ. In the way that we love, by being like Christ in the way that we call people to repentance, by being like Christ in the way we forgive, by being like Christ in the way that we not only live in holiness, but call others to it. Father, may this disciple-making process be more than simply a program or a checklist mentality, but may it be a lifestyle of how we live for Jesus and share Him. And may You help us to see those around us that are willing to learn and eager to learn and desire to grow in Christ and to be more aligned with Your will than with the will of self. Father, today as we live life, as we have opportunity to interact with people in whatever means that is accessible to us, may we view the opportunities that we have as opportunities to make disciples, recognizing that it's a lifelong process, that it's not something that we wake up one morning and we are complete. But when we wake up in Christ, when we die to self and wake up in Christ, we are on that road of transformation. That while we have been changed, we are not yet what we will be. And as we grow as disciples, we grow more and more into the likeness of Christ. So, Father, may our life be lived in such a way that we help others to grow into the likeness of Christ, so that together we lift up Jesus, so that many would be drawn to Him. It's in His name that I pray. Amen. This has been our Wednesday devotion and prayer time. Thank you so much for joining me today. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.